Y'all are a little too quiet. Well, as Psalm 100 says, I got a question for you. Did you enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise this morning? Amen. Let's hear it. Amen. Thankful you're here today and you come to worship the Lord. And just keep that in mind. We have so much to be thankful for and so much to praise his name for. So I want to hear you today praising his name. Just have a couple of announcements I want to make today. The first thing that we're going to do that's coming up is December the 20th. It's our Christmas caroling at DeHart Park. And you need to be there at by 5:45, or you'll have to pay to get in. But we park down near the pool, and where we're caroling is at the shelter by the pool. We've done that before. So just come and bring a joyful noise. Okay, we're going to represent the Lord well that night. So be at the parking lot 5:45 and meet at the picnic shelter. If you have any questions, you can ask me. And then on the 22nd is our children's program. So excited about that. That's going to be an awesome time. And we're also going to have a New Year's Eve service on the 31st of December starting at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. 9 p.m. Not 9 a.m. Some people get started at 9 a.m. 9 p.m. So let's praise the Lord together. Let's say a quick prayer. Father God, we're so thankful to be here today in your presence. Lord, we invite you in, Holy Spirit, to rule and reign in this place and have liberty. Father, come inhabit the praises of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, let me hear you give him a radical praise. We're going to worship him this morning. Somebody say, he's the reason for the season. Yes, amen. Oh, come all ye faithful. How many is faithful this morning? How many gonna worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords today? Amen.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold.
That name. Let everything
that has breath,
come on,
praise the Lord. praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I'll praise you in the valley. I'll praise you on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm short. I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm numbered. I'll praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the waters my enemies drown. I'm breathing. I've got a reason to
praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
I'll praise when I feel it. I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control. My praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. Come on. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise. You're sovereign, I'll praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful, I'll praise 'cause you're true. I'll praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign, I'll praise 'cause you reign. I'll praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful, I'll praise 'cause you're true. I'll praise 'cause there's nobody. So
Lord, oh.
everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Wandering through the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul. A stag of bones. Oh, I tried with all my might, but just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, vagabond. Just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I was not good to know. He picked me up and turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long, my old friends, burdens and bitterness. Oh, just keep it moving. You ain't welcome here. From now till I walk streets of gold, this wayward son has found his way back home. Oh, he's picked me up, he's turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior.
I am free. Come on. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am. Are you free this morning? Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. Oh, hell lost another one. I am free.
Come on.
I am free. Oh, I am free because he picked me up. My feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Come on, get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. That 2,000 years ago that he was born in a lowly stable, placed in a manger. I'm I'm so thankful he came and he went to the cross, but he didn't stay there either because he rose on the third day. Far above, everybody say, far above all principality, all power, all dominion, all might, and every name that is named, not only in this world. That means cancer's under his foot. That means neuropathy's under his foot. Mental disease is under his foot. Demonic spirits are under his foot. And today, everything that's over his head is under our feet too. Can you praise him right now?
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, we bless you, Lord. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you were. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. love him for a few moments. Come on, just love him. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody just say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you what, I'm getting overwhelmed. Hallelujah. Thinking about that old song I was preaching about last week. I was guilty with nothing to say, and they were coming to take me away. But then a voice from heaven was heard that said, let him go. Take me instead. And I should have been crucified, and I should have suffered and died. Oh, I should have hung on Son took my place. But Jesus, oh, but Jesus, God's Son took my place. Have you ever thought about that? He's guilty. Take him and crucify him. And a voice was heard from heaven that said, let him go. Take me instead. Dear Jesus, you see, I should have been crucified. Oh, I should have suffered and died. Oh, I should have hung on that cross in disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Oh, yes, Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Millie, come and give a quick testimony about how good God's been, and then you may be seated, and we're going to receive the offering. So, ushers, if you'll get ready.
Okay. All right, let's wait till everybody, can we get everybody's attention?
We're going to wait for everybody's attention. Because when Millie speaks, we listen. No, I'm just, I know it's good.
All right. On February the 19th of 2024 at 12:20 a.m., I heard the Lord say this to me. Thus saith the Lord, prove me now if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing that you have not room to receive. Well, he did that yesterday. That was 10 months, almost to the day, since he told me that. Well, a lot of you know that I was in need of a vehicle. And yesterday, I and three friends went to Danville and got the vehicle. And while one of the friends took me with the car to test drive it, he knows everything that he needed to check. So he was doing all that. And in the meantime, while we were out doing that, I ask him some questions about his wife, who I knew had been struggling with an illness. He told me that she had been struggling with this illness for 17 years, and it was the doctor's reports and all the symptoms were intensifying. So my counsel to him was, what I have been taught here and have laid hold of and practice it, I told him, my counsel to him was, don't ever say anything that will give legal right to the devil to come in and mess with you. And so he received that with gladness. And we talked about that a lot during the day, but this is the day. Yesterday was the day that I believe God was preparing me for when he said, prove me herewith if I will not pour you out a blessing that you have not room to receive. Well, I didn't have room to receive that blessing yesterday.
Amen. We're happy for Millie. Amen. Amen.
Just have the ushers come.
Baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And the child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss the little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. that your baby boy was Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect man? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Oh, Mary, did you know?
Wow. Amen. Somebody praise the Lord again. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Let's see. We got the real preacher in the house this morning. You know, she's been like wanting to bust out of the stall. Amen. Like she was there when Jesus was born, one of the animals that was in there. And she's raring to go. Man, I'm telling you, she's got a word this morning. Amen. So give the Lord praise for the First Lady. Amen.
Amen. If Miss Dolly will come, you can remain seated for this. She's going to read the entire chapter of the book of Matthew. And you want to stand right here? It's fine. And you can hold the mic, or do you want me to hold it? Okay. Listen to that. I love to hear her read, by the way.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there became wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people in Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me the word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child with his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child with his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And there was until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the times which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet. In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children that would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he returned aside to the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene.
Amen. Amen. Yes, give God glory for that word. Wonderful. Thank you, Dolly, for doing that for me. Father, I ask that you will anoint my mind, anoint my words. Let me enunciate it properly. Let me get the message across that I feel you dropped into my heart. I pray, Lord God, that you would touch every person under the sound of my voice. Don't let me speak a word too much or a word too little this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. This is a story that we sit and shrink. So now I'm already not enunciating. This is a word that we should not take for granted or take out of the Christmas story. It's not one that you often hear a whole lot at Christmas time. We want to sing about joyful things and good things. And it is the season to be jolly. It's a season to have joy to the world and hark the herald angels sing. And even Santa Claus is coming to town. Don't mean to offend anybody, but just joyful songs. Jingle Bell Rock, I'll Be Home for Christmas. It's just happy stuff. The Christmas season, a lot of us are dressed up this morning, and that's great. I see a lot of red, and it's the time to do it. And I told someone, I said, gosh, if I'm going to bring out my bling or all this, you know, shiny, shiny things, I need to do it now because, you know, you don't stick out like a sore thumb at this time of year because I do like the blingy stuff. But anyway, this is the Christmas season, and we're happy. We're excited about Christmas. Amen. Usually everyone is pretty happy. They're pretty nice, even in stores at this time. But there was one man that we're going to talk about this morning named Herod the Great, and I call him the first Grinch. I was thinking about Herod the other day when I was speaking to you, or, you know, prophetically come on me, and I was thinking, you know, he was so jealous of them saying another king of the Jews was born. He couldn't take it. So he really actually, in my opinion, was the first Grinch. You know, the one that stole Christmas, but he tried to steal it, but he didn't succeed, did he? You know, he's not a makeup believe character. He's not green. He wasn't invented by Dr. Seuss. He was a real person. There he is. He was a real person, and he hated Christmas, but he didn't. He's never even heard the word Christmas, but he was trying to rob it and steal it before we ever got there. Amen. He is a man in history called Herod the Great, and he was found, as Dolly read so beautifully, in the whole entire chapter of Matthew chapter 2. It's a story of a man who tried to kill this Christmas season. It's strange and bizarre because it really shouldn't be there among all this joy and celebration, but it is, and it's there for a reason. It's there for a reason. The history calls him Herod the Great, but he wasn't a very nice man. See, in the year B.C. 47, Herod the Great was only 25 years old, and he was the governor of Galilee. That was a prestigious place. He had worked himself up the rank by killing and plotting and destroying, and he was very smart. He was very smart. If you remember, Jesus referred to a Herod, another Herod, called him, he's an old fox, and be careful of him. See, that was the son of this Herod. So anyway, they had that in their DNA. They knew what to do. They knew how to manipulate. They were tyrants, actually, at the least. And the Romans hoped that when they named Herod king of the Jews, they hoped that that would pacify the Jews. They said, well, we'll give them a king since they want one so bad. We'll just call this evil man king. And he's worked his way and, you know, finagled his way in. He sort of married and was sort of raised in a Jewish custom. So they said, this will work. We'll just crown him the king of the Jews. The Roman Senate named him that. But it was a title the Jews hated that they gave Herod the Great. They really didn't accept it very well. Why? Because Herod was not a Jew by birth. He was not a Jew by religion. He kind of got grafted in it, but his heart was not in it. And as the years rolled on, Herod proves to be a very cruel man. He held tightly to the reins of power. Why? Because he brutally removed anyone and anything that got into his way. Herod the Great killed many people. He killed his brother-in-law. He killed his mother-in-law. He killed his wife, whose name was Mariamne. Killed her. He murdered his wife. And you know that they say historians refer to that as actually driving him over the edge. When he killed Mariamne, that just about done it in. And you know why he killed her? Because he thought she was a threat to his power. Amen. He never got over that. He took his wife, but he never really got over that. This man was tormented about the murdering his wife for over 26 years. That was the one death that really bothered him, I think, if there was a heart in there. But like I say, he was the first Grinch, so that heart was probably very little. Even though he lived to be 70, her murder haunted him from the beginning to the end. Herod the Great was a killer. He killed out of spite. He killed to stay in power. Human life meant nothing to him. The great historian Josephus said once, he said, he's a barbaric. Another one named him the malevolent maniac. And another one called him the great pervert, and he definitely was. In the year 7 BC, Herod's an old man now, and I want you to think with me. He has been in power for 41 years as the imitation king of the Jews. He's been in power, and he doesn't have much longer to live. Word says that his sons, he found out they were plotting. These were the sons of Mariamne. They were plotting to take over because he's an old man. He's sickly. Well, not old. 70's not old, is it? No. We keep saying Moses didn't get started till he's 80. We just keep talking about that, don't we? But he's plotting. He finds out these sons of hers are coming after me now for vindication. He says, well, I'll order them by being put to death. So what does he do? He strangles them. He strangles them. Caesar Augustus said, who was the one who put Herod the Great in as the governor of Galilee, he said it's safer to be one of Herod's sows or pigs than to be his son. That's saying something. Because Herod wouldn't touch the pig because of the Jewish tradition. He was trying to, you know, fake the religion in front of him. He wouldn't touch a pig, but yet he would save a pig and kill his sons. That's a pretty deep man. That's a pretty wicked man. His wife, his mother-in-law, his brother-in-law, and now his two sons, and hundreds of others that we don't even know about that he killed along the way to get them out of the way. And you know that same spirit's in the land today. We have tyrants today. Tyrants are very insecure people. That's why they have to get rid of so many that are standing in their way of line of power and dictatorship. But killing was what Herod did best. So now Herod is there. He's getting ready to, he's slowly dying. They describe his body as kind of eating up. It's got a foul distemper to it, Josephus said. His body was racked with convulsions. His breath was foul, which probably kidneys shutting down. His skin was covered with loathsome sores, and he was rapidly losing that mind. But he was still the, quote, king of the Jews. One day, word comes to him in Jerusalem that some visitors have arrived from the east. And they were strange men. And these men were causing quite a ruckus in Jerusalem. And they arrived. They were known as the Magi, the wise men of the east. They were priests of an oriental religion who practiced astrology. Almost pagan in some ways. They believe in science. But see, you're going to find out when I finish this message, science and the Bible go right together. They're not in competitive. Yes, they're not. Science proves God. It really does every day. In Persia, they were considered powerful men. They journeyed across the desert to see this newborn baby. They had been following the star. Perhaps there were three. Some say it could be more, but if you'd really check it out, and I tried to study it all I knew how, I think it probably was three, but they had caravans that traveled with them. Caravans of camels that were bringing all this frankincense and the myrrh and the gold. I mean, that they weren't bringing them. I know down here we display over there, yeah, over there, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but it was more than just a little box they gave them, okay? They gave them more. Why? Because they were getting ready to support the ministry of Jesus and take care of his mom and dad and get him taken care of. Some people don't realize that. They think Jesus was just poor all his life. No, he was not. God took care of him. When it says he didn't have a place to lay his head, that was of his choosing when he would travel and do ministry. But God always took care and found a place for him to stay. And he will you too. Ministers, he will you too. Okay, perhaps there were three, perhaps more. But the Bible says, the scriptures Dolly read, says, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, this star was very bright and it moved. Some people say it could have been a bright planet. I don't care what it was. I just know it was bright and moved and it showed them the way. But we call it a star. Amen. It was luminous. And the men were Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. You like that name, don't you? He likes to say that name. They came from Persia, which was well known for frankincense. They came from India, where gold was. And they came from Arabia, where myrrh was very, very affluent. So what was this star, this shining planet in the sky? Herod didn't know, but he knew he'd better find out what this was all about. Because this caravan and these three Oriental men were causing a ruckus in Jerusalem. And people were wondering, like, man, the circus has come to town. What's going on here? They were looking for someone born, not just given the title, but born King of the Jews. Now, that was shaking Herod up. How could that be? Herod says, like I told you the other Sunday, Herod said, no, I'm the king. I'm the king. How dare anybody say there's born a King of the Jews when you have me? This outstanding tyrant killer that I am. You have me. But he wasn't born that way. He fought to gain it, remember? It all shook him up. The Bible says when Herod heard that he was disturbed, the word disturbed means that he shook violently. He was enraged that anybody would give that title to somebody else. That's mine. Finally, he subdued all of his enemies. Finally, he had killed all of his foes. Finally, Herod said, I'm ready to die triumphantly. I fulfilled everything I wanted to feel in life, but if they're saying this baby was born, I've got one more thing to kill because I'm not going out of here not being known as King of the Jews. He was that dominant. He was not particularly a religious man. Now, Herod helped, he actually helped build Masada in Jerusalem. That's amazing, the fortress. He helped do the temple, and he made it even more glorious, they said, than even Solomon. He helped build that temple back. So see, some of the Jews were looking at him, and you know, he was sort of buying them out. You know what I mean? Buying them out. But that's about as far as it went. Now, he may hear scriptures sometime from the scribes and the Pharisees, and sometimes that can rub off on you a bit. So Herod knew enough about scripture to probably know there's something about this Messiah. I think I might have heard that read in the Torah somewhere passing by the temple when I'm pretending to be a Jew. Come on. Satan always gets shaken up by people who truly believe. And see, these people truly believe. These magi believed. And so Herod said, now, I've got to figure this out. So he said, okay, you're saying this, so I'm going to go to the chief priest and the Pharisees. I'm going to go over to that temple that I've given them and threw all the money at them, and they'll tell me the truth. I'll ask them, just what is it about this Christ that's being born? So the scribes gave him this answer to his question. They said, it's true. In Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written. They told Herod, they said, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Well, you know that set him on edge. He said, now they're truly going to believe it. They're believing it. What am I going to do? Suddenly things are getting real serious here for Mr. Herod, or the first Grinch. It's getting real serious. Maybe these strangers are on to something. He's thinking, what if this baby they're looking for is truly the Messiah? What if? And he begins to get consumed with it, tormented, that someone's going to take his title. Herod may be many things, but I'll tell you one thing, he was not stupid. He knew how to build. He knew how to do architecture. That's why he rose to where he got. He wasn't stupid, but he was also evil. The wise men ask him, where is this baby born, King of the Jews? The scribes had confirmed in the Old Testament prediction that the Messiah's birth would be there, right in Bethlehem. So no wonder Herod is getting very shaken up. He said, I have got to stop this crazy birth from happening, or I've got to find this baby and kill him. And like I said earlier, all tyrants are cowards at heart. They rule by force, but one thing they fear more than anything is a force they believe is greater than theirs. They cannot handle it. If Messiah had come, it meant Herod was going to rule. He said, if that's truly the Messiah, and I'm saying I'm king of the Jews, and they're saying this baby's king of the Jews, then I'm going to be in opposition to the people I'm trying to rule, and they're going to kick me out. And the man's dying anyway. But he can't handle it, because that's how evil gets in a person's heart. It gets so ugly. Three wise men. So Herod hatched this clever part, as she read. We pick up that verse in 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and he found out from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, so it was 2 years ago. Okay. Go make a careful search for this child. And as soon as you find him, Magi, you report back to me, because I too want to go worship him. Oh, that clever little devil. You know, his son, Jesus, called a fox. He had that in him too. It must have run in the DNA. He said, I want to go worship him. He was lying. And we all know that. But anyway, why didn't Herod, or why didn't the wise men see through Herod's trick? This is really good. This spoke to me. You know why? Because really, truly good people, when they're searching for the truth, and good people in heart, and I believe these wise men were good people always want to see the good, even in evil people. I'm guilty of that. I want to find something good in every person. I want to believe everybody is salvageable. Sometimes you can get very deceived like that. So be very careful. You might ask, well, why didn't Herod send some of the troops or the soldiers to go to Bethlehem? Why didn't he send squadrons of Roman soldiers to go and check things out? Well, he could have. But think about it. That would have attracted way too much attention. He said, man, if I start sending soldiers in there and they've seen all this caravan and all these riches start coming into Bethlehem, they're going to think, what am I up to? Finally, Herod was so concerned. And if he was so concerned, why didn't Herod himself go look for that baby? I'm going to tell you why I think he didn't go. I think he didn't go because he knew if he came face to face with truth, if he came face to face with that holiness, it'd be too much. He would be forced to make a decision. And that's why some people don't want to be confronted. They don't want the truth thrown in them. So he wouldn't go. He wouldn't send soldiers. So he sent the wise man, because this will be more discreet. It'll be more clever. It'll be more deceptive. So the star miraculously reappears, and it led the wise men. See, Jesus had already been born 2 years ago. But it led the wise men to the house. He wasn't in a stable now. He's about a two-year-old child. Led him to the house where Mary and Joseph were. And you know, Joseph, being the good Jewish man he was, opens the door, allows these strangers to come in, and this caravan comes in, and here they come bringing the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And when they saw the child, not the baby in the manger, but when they saw that child, these three wise men, they had nothing to do but bow. I gotta bow to this. There is something holy here. There is something that's true here. And they bowed to him and gave him all of these gifts. And they were not ashamed to give him these gifts. Although they were men of prominence and had smarts, scientific as you were, they still said, I'm not too good to bow these knees. This baby has something. So having been, after they met the child, gave the gifts, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, see, they didn't figure it out, but God had enough, discernment to give them and drop in their hearts. Thank God for discernment. Amen. Go another route, Magi. Go another route. You go another route, and you don't go back to Herod. The Magi went east, and Mary and Joseph were also warned, and they went west. One went east, and one went west. So now Herod finds out all this, and he's like, oh, they have fooled me again. Can't take it. The Bible says when Herod had been tricked by the Magi, these Oriental smart men, he became enraged again. Enraged again. They call him the butcher of Bethlehem. Herod was very old, very sick. He wanted control of the kingdom. He's dying. He knows that he's angry. He's tricked by the Magi now. He still knows there's something mysterious about this baby or this child that was 2 years old. In short, he was out of his mind with rage, frustration, fear, and pain. He was insanely jealous. Jealousy, people, is as cruel as the grave. Jealousy will cause you to do things you never dreamed you'd do. Jealousy will cause you to treat people in ways you never thought you'd treat them. Jealousy will cause you to say things you never thought you'd say. Keep jealousy out of your heart. It's ugly. It's cruel. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. He's a bloody killer by nature. So in the history of the church, this is called, as we studied, the slaughter of the innocents. It's when they just wiped out all these babies. After 2,000 years, we're still talking about this today, about the babies being slaughtered. How about that? Herod realized he'd been outwitted. He was furious. So he gave orders now to the soldiers, go in Bethlehem and every vicinity where they are. The star appeared 2 years ago. Was he born 2 years ago, or was he born as they were traveling? I don't know. So Herod's like, I'll make sure. So I'll start from 2 years down, and I will kill every boy in Bethlehem. Can you imagine that? That's something like Hitler would do. That's something like Stalin would do. That's something like Saddam Hussein would do. And hey, guess what? That's something like they did in October the 7th, 2023. It's that same ugly spirit. Soldiers break in, and the soldiers, one might grab the leg of a baby boy, and another will take a knife and slit his throat, throw him to the side. They move on from house to house to house to house. That's when it talks about Rachel weeping for her children and could not be comforted. The cries that went out in Bethlehem that night, it wasn't a silent night and a holy night. Not that night. It wasn't anything but a silent night. It was anything but a holy night. It was a horrific night for these moms that wake up the next day having to bury babies because of a man that struggles with insecurity and power hungry and greed. And don't we see it even in our government today and governments across the world? Did this really happen? Yes, it really happened. Historians record it. This is not a made-up tale. It happened. He really did this. He really killed. At the end of the line, back in Jerusalem, Herod leans back on his couch or sure over his throne, and he hears all the glad news. Sir, they're all took care of. Everyone's dead. All the babies are dead. He said, man, now I can rest now. That foe's gone. I can die in peace. But the Bible concludes this by noting this about Herod. They said he died with maggots eating away at his body. You never get by. We look and think, God, they're getting by with so much. I'm trying to love you. I'm trying to live right. And then I see these doing this and these doing that. There's always a day of reckoning. And I don't rejoice even when people reap. When they've done ugly things and then they begin to reap, I still don't rejoice. It still breaks my heart. And I know it does yours too. I know you don't have that in you. I hope you don't. If you do, get it out. But Josephus said he died of maggots, eating away his body. He died in agony. He was insane. He was tormented, even delirious at the end of his life. When he died, now get this, they buried his body in a grave, guess where? Not far from Bethlehem. Isn't that something? Not long after that, then Joseph and Mary was told, he's dead now, you can go back. So they returned back to a place from Egypt to Galilee so he could be called a Nazarene, as the prophets had prophesied. So the man who tried to kill Christmas but almost didn't because he didn't even know the name, that first Grinch, I think it was Herod the Great. So when you watch the Grinch, if you do that, always think of Herod. Now, there's three ways to look at this, three ways to look at it. Although Herod is the leading figure we've talked about this morning, and it's a tragic drama, I know, but he's only one player on this stage. Besides Herod, we talked about three wise men, and we talked about the scribes and the Pharisees. All three represent different ways of looking at Christmas. Number one way is the way Herod did, with hostility. And that's the symbol for the kind of world Jesus came into. The Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. Did it not say that? Herod stands for the bloodthirsty, cruel, vindictive side of the world system. And we see it in operation today. A world where human life is cheap. And that's today. It's still here. That spirit. A world where killing is accepted and even expected among people. Herod tried, but his spirit lives on. He died, but his spirit lives on. To this day, there are those still offended by Jesus. He was offended when he heard about a king of the Jews. Offended over that little baby. And you know, today, some people still are offended when you mention the name Jesus. Oh, yes. They are offended. They oppose spiritual truth. They want to erase every bit of Christmas, if they can, from public life. And this spirit of Herod that tries to shut it down, I look at it as even going on in school boards when they won't let Christmas be named in public schools. That's that old spirit of Herod. When lawmakers go to court and sue counties and administration buildings and say you cannot put a nativity up, that's that old spirit of Herod working. Amen? So that's one way of looking at Christmas. All across America, we see it. The second way of looking at Christmas is the way the scribes and the Pharisees did. They had indifference. They really did. They knew the scriptures. You know, they were like the Gnostics with Gnosticism. Oh, they knew the word. They loved learning and knowing the word. They knew it, they knew it, and they knew it. But they didn't care enough about it when they told Herod, yes, it's, let me get my Bible. Let me get the Torah. Let me show you. Yeah, it says he's in here. But you know, that's been over 2,000 years ago. There's been a lot of babies born in Bethlehem. And you know, we kind of lost hope, wondered when it was ever going to happen. But it is prophesied. It is true. He's going to be born in Bethlehem whenever that comes. So they told him, but they were indifferent to it. Why didn't the scribes and Pharisees that had all the knowledge in the world go look for this baby themselves? They should have been jumping up and down dancing. That, man, it's finally happening. We've waited. Our fathers have waited. Our ancestors have waited. And he's finally coming. But they were like, nah. I'll tell you where it's at, but you can go. But, oh, by the way, Herod, let us know if you find him. Boy, we can get like that in all of our knowledge. And all of our knowledge, we better get a heart with it. You know, God says go and make disciples. How many disciples are we making? Herod knows, They should have been singing Nancy because the Messiah had come. But who looks worse in this story? Is it the hostility of Herod, which is horrible? But is it the indifference of the religious people? Which one looks worse? They both are ugly. Who looks worse? I almost think the religious do. Because Herod, he had knowledge, but he didn't have it in his heart. They had it and really knew it, but they didn't do anything about it. Okay, and the third one, getting close to closing. And worship. This is the final group on the stage of the wise men. When they found the baby, they bowed down and worshiped him. So where are you at? Are you in hostility over Christmas? Does it just make you mad and angry? You wish it would all go away? Are you indifferent about it? Like, yeah, we've heard the Christmas story all our life. And or are you like the third, the Magi? Are you like them that want to worship at this time? I want to worship. Because, you know, we say Christmas is about getting around all the family and all that. What if your family is estranged from you? That's a hard thing to deal with. But you know what you have to come to the conclusion about? This isn't about me and my family. It's about what Jesus gave to me. So when I look at the decorations, I say, bring them on. When I look at Christmas trees, I say, bring them on. Because I don't worship a tree. When I look at a tree, I think about a tree that he died on. I think about it being evergreen, that he gave me everlasting life. I think about the gold and silver that the Magi bought. When I see tinsel on it, when I see the red ornaments on it, I think about the blood of Jesus. When I see presents under a tree, I think about his presence that was under the tree at Calvary that came and touched my heart one day. I don't look at it as something pagan. It's all in how you look at things sometimes. You know, let's be about the Father's business. But worship, they worship. The wise men proved themselves worthy of that baby because when they found him, they worshiped him gladly. So these responses, these three responses are very different. You can be hostile toward the season by humbug. You can be indifferent, like, oh, another Christmas play. Oh, the children did sweet. Ain't they cute? What are we going to eat after church? Come on. Or we can say, man, I'm here in the house of God and I'm worshiping. You know, and I noticed a lot of y'all were really worshiping this morning. I could feel it. And you talk about, if you ever want to put me in a good mood, you start worshiping in this house. I love it. Sometimes you'll see all three responses of this. You'll see the hostility, you'll see the indifference, and you'll see people worshiping all in one family. Huh? You'll see it on your workplace. Oh, yeah. And you have to be willing to deal with it. Herod has many grandchildren today, and they're out there. They're out there. And the scribes are out there, too. The religious ones are out there, too. But how do you respond? How are you going to respond to Jesus? Are you going to be a Herod? Are you going to be a scribe? Are you going to be a Magi? Where will you stand? Where will you stand? Are you hostile to Jesus? Are you too busy to get involved? Well, I've got a study. I've got a lecture quiz tonight. I've got, come on, Kaneo people, I'm talking to you now. You carry yourselves different, and that's wonderful, but what are you doing with that knowledge you've learned? Come on, Kaneo, I love you. You know I love you. But what are you doing with that knowledge you've learned? What are you doing with the knowledge you've learned in 40-some years sitting under a great pastor and many wonderful guests that we have here and speakers that we've brought in here, line upon line, precept upon precept? What are you doing, church, with all that word you have? Come on. Everybody has the same basic information. All three of these had the same basic information. Herod did. The scribes did, and the Magi did. But each one responded differently. So what will you do with Jesus this year? If information could save you, then, you know, a lot of us would, man, we'd just have wings this morning. But information and knowledge of the word, although it's wonderful, you got to apply it, you got to live it, you got to do it. The Magi went looking for the truth. The Magi went looking for the truth. But see, folks, we carry the truth now. We don't have to look for him anymore. He's in us. We're the Magi. We're the ones carrying it out now. We have found the truth. We have found the place where the baby lays. And when we go out, we're spreading that. We're literally carrying this crown around. Come on, this king-size bed around. Tanya, pick up that king-size bed because I'm getting ready to close with this. And Alan and Jennifer, y'all can get ready. I know it's not that heavy. It looks heavy, but we've tricked you. Now look at that. That's a king-size bed. That's the way it should be right there. You can just hold that down there. That's a king-size bed for Jesus. And that truly is, amen. The Magi went looking for the truth, but we carry it, amen. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God from heaven, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, if you believe that Jesus Christ came to save you from your sins, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place, if you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, if you believe that Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, if you believe that Jesus Christ will one day return to this earth, if you believe that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day, if you believe all that, then do what the wise men did. Come and worship him. Come and worship him with an open heart and bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ and worship. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Father, give us eyes to see this baby Jesus in a new and fresh way this Christmas season. Help us to see him as a king sleeping in a stable, in a king's
size bed. Help us to see it like that, Lord. Give us ears to hear as the angels were singing. Give us feet like the shepherds who ran swiftly to find this glorious thing in Bethlehem. Give us hands like the wise men who are willing to give all to this king. Give us that, Lord. Give us that, that we'll give the best that we have. Give us hearts of love to worship him today. Stand with me. Let's sing joy to the world.
Woo! Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior.
Come on, reigns. Sing it, folks.
Let men their
Come on,
songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy.
Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
No more let sin and sorrows.
Come on, people, sing it out. Come on. Let me hear you. Sing. Sing, Mike.
He comes to make his blessings flow.
Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found,
he rules the world with truth and grace,
and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. And wonders and wonders of his love.
Amen. Amen. Deborah said, Ben said it's not about gifts. He's telling people at Walmart it's not about gifts, it's about Jesus. Amen. Amen. It is about Jesus. Somebody say, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Come on, let me see you praise him. Just like, give him crazy praise. Crazy praise. Crazy praise. Thank you, Lord. Woo, dear God. Hallelujah. You know, every problem is already solved. Depression is solved. Stupidity is solved. Being lost is solved. Amen. All you got to do is accept Jesus. Somebody say, accept Jesus. Accept Jesus. If everybody would just follow Jesus, what a wonderful world. What a wonderful world. What a wonderful world it would be. Amen. What a wonderful world. Dear God, you know, I think that if Christians could get that fire lit, the fire lit about Jesus, amen? Look at somebody and say, be happy. Be happy, be happy, be happy, amen. What a word, praise God. I don't want to be no Grinch, amen. I don't want, how many want to be a Grinch? If you do, we'll paint you green before you go. This morning, amen. Amen. You know, great, great job this morning. Praise God. Great job. I'm going to steal these notes and take them with me for next year. They're big enough. She tickled me like yesterday. She ran these off, and I said, that's my type. I said, you ought to be able to spot that from about the fourth row back. Can you read that? Now, I've used 20 type, and I'm like, man, I sure am glad I don't use 24 or 25 or 32. I've known some people to use it. Amen. This morning, I would like for us to pray for a few people before we are dismissed. Joe Turner had texted me early this morning, and Caleb is real sick, and he was on his way to take him to the doctor. I wanted to pray. We had prayed for him back here in the room this morning. And also, I had a cousin that got killed in a car wreck. And just a great man, Marvin Jenkins, and had served the Lord all of his life, full of the joy of God. Every time you met him, he had a smile on his face and just a really good love the Lord. I'm telling you, man, just overflowing with Jesus, just always, always abounding in the love of God. Never will forget that. And I was thinking yesterday, I hate, you know, that he has departed this earth. But I know where he's at. I know he's in the presence of God. And so we want to pray for the Jenkins family this morning and ask God to touch them. And also Eddie Sanchez, we want to remember him. He is in the Roanoke Hospital, and some of you already know he has had his legs amputated above the knee. And so we want to, not above the knee, but right below the knee, below the knee. And so we want to believe God, you know, that the Lord will touch him and that they won't have to do any more of this stuff. Amen. And so there's some people right now that are really in need in this Christmas season, and they need a miracle, but Jesus is the miracle worker. And so let's get our hearts stirred up this morning in faith, and let's pray this morning for these that God would intervene by his Spirit. So, Father, we lift up before you today the name of Jesus. We exalt that name. We thank you that it is above every name. It's above calciphylaxis. It's above, Father God, death. It's above every sickness and every disease. Lord, we lift Caleb Turner up before you, and we speak and send the healing word of God. Lord, we speak life over him. And Lord, we thank you right now that Jesus, that gifts of healings, we believe, are being released through Holy Spirit to touch him from head to toe. Father God in heaven, we just right now ask you, Father God, to reach into that Roanoke Hospital today and touch Eddie. Lord God, we just speak the peace of God over him. Lord Jesus, just ask you to minister to he and Terry, Father God, in this hour of need over their lives, Lord. Lord, we lift up the Jenkins family before you today. Father God, we're so thankful that Marvin is in your presence, but we know, God, that when the withdrawal is made from this earth, Lord, that there's pain and there's hurt. So we pray your peace and comfort today over the family. And Father, we believe you for that. And for every heart, God, that is sorrowful and struggling, and Lord God, that the enemy is just working against them tirelessly. We pray today for the overwhelming waves of the grace of God to be released to them, Lord. And Lord, we speak life and pray, send your angels to minister to them, Lord God, the way that they need it. And Father, we pray that eyes will be open to see Jesus, that hearts would be open to understand Jesus, and that lives would be turned toward him, oh God, because every problem would be solved. We thank you for that today, Father, and give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. If you're here this morning, before we go, if you need prayer, we want to pray for you. If anybody needs prayer, we definitely want you to come. This is our Father's house. It's called a house of prayer. Amen. Anyone need prayer? All right. Bailey's coming right here. Van, you want to stand in proxy for someone, you need to come. Amen. Hallelujah.